Romans chapter 4. We talked last week about the life of Abraham. His name was Abram for 99 years, and then God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Periodically over the years, God had rehearsed his promise to Abraham. He said, you'll be the father of many nations. He said, you'll be a blessing to all people on the earth. He said, your seed will live in the land that I give them. And then Abraham said, but I don't have any seed. I don't have any children. I don't have any posterity. No chances of having children. And God said, you will have seed as the dust of the sea. Isn't that amazing? As the stars in the sky. You go out tonight and look up, see how many you can count. And then know that you missed a few. And Abraham was concerned because there was no possibility of God's promise coming to pass. But do you remember this is the God that walked on the water? This is the God that sent the birds, the ravens, to feed the prophet. Every day they came with bread and quail. Every day. This is a God with whom all things are possible. This is the God that spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And this is the God that shut the mouth of the lions when Daniel was in the lion's den. It's very difficult to tell God he can't do anything because he can do all things. Scripture says all things are possible with God. And then it says all things are possible to him that believes. So I have to believe the promise of God. I have to know what God said. I have to believe that promise. And the best way is to read it over and over again to rehearse the promise. I am not against reading your Bible through, but I am very much for marching and standing and sitting in one spot, the spot that God puts you in, some scripture that speaks to you, and you read it over and over and over again. And seasonally, that may change. But for a long time, I read Exodus 23 over and over again. God will bless your bread and water, take sickness and disease away from you, number your days, he will fulfill. And I don't memorize scripture, but I read it so much that it gets lodged in your heart by the Spirit. And that's what you want to do. You want to read it and read it and read it and read it because you're going to hold fast to the promise. All things are possible to him that believeth. Well, you have to know what you believe. Now, the best synopsis of Abraham's life is found here in Romans 4, verse 18. It says, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope? Who against hope? There was no natural hope. It says in the next verse that, verse 19, being not weak in faith. See, weak faith considers the circumstances. Not weak in faith. He only looked at the promise of God and what God had promised, what God had said. He considered not his own body now dead. Now, it's real hard not to consider your body if it's bothering you. It's kind of like wearing a pair of shoes that hurt your feet. Have you ever done that? It's very difficult to forget that your shoes are hurting your feet. But it says he considered not his own body. He's only concentrating on, he's only surrendered to the promise. He surrendered to the will and the word of God. Being now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now somebody wanted to know why God waited so long, and when you get to heaven, you ask him. I found out long ago I'm not responsible to know everything. It's a big book. But one reason was Abraham's confession. Now when he was Abram, for 99 years, and then God came and called him Abraham, which means father of a multitude. So every time he introduced himself, he changed his name. He says, my name is Abraham. And they heard, I'm the father of a multitude. Well, I know, you know, he had a large household. We talked about he had 318 trained servants, servants of war, servants who could defend the household. And Abraham was very, very rich. And when you have an army of 318 that live with you, it says that were born in his house. You are very rich in cattle and silver and gold. You are very rich in people. You have a large household to take care of and a large household to take care of you. But you notice Abraham wasn't dependent on them. He was looking to God. It says he staggered not. Now we had, interestingly enough, it's now a church, but it was a bar for years. It'd been there for years and years and years. And periodically, coming in late at night, you'd see somebody staggering down the road. Well, they've lost their perception. And if you turn loose of the Word or you misunderstand the Word, you've lost your perception. We've got to be centered in the Word. We've got to know what God said, and we've got to stagger not. That means we're not going to doubt. We're not going to waver. Those are the same words, stagger not, and that's in verse 20. Verse 19 says, we're not weak in faith. He consider not his own body. In other words, I've got to keep my eye on the Word, and if I keep my eye on the Word and keep rehearsing the Word, I won't stagger. In other words, I won't fall off the promise. He staggered not. And then verse 21 says, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. So he's looking at the promise of God. He's not looking at his body. He's not looking at Sarah's body. Interestingly enough, I was reading some commentaries by people a lot smarter than me. And when God came about Isaac, he said, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might serve you. And this man said, it is very possible that Abraham thought Ishmael might be the promised child. But God is going to send Ishmael away, and all attention is going to go to Isaac, who was the supernatural seed of Abraham and Sarah at 90 and 100. Now, if we're going to be centered in God, we've got to keep our eye on the Word. It's very easy to consider your body, to consider your prescription, to consider your insurance, to consider medical billing. I found that sometimes they need a little help with their billing. But we lay all that aside to think about the Word and the promise. Now, here's where the mistake is made. People say all the time, I know God will heal me. You will never be healed saying that. Say, I will never be healed looking to the future. This is very important to you. It's not that God will. I am healed, and God did. See, the price for your healing has been paid. Now, if I offer you, I have my attorney, leave you my house in our will, and the attorney calls you and said the Cumbies are in heaven and their house belongs to you. Now, you've not seen it and you didn't pay for it, but you do have to go and possess it. See, and sickness and disease is paid for. You may not have seen it in your body, but it's paid for. It is paid for. It is paid for. Now, you have to learn how to possess what Jesus did on the cross. He paid for it. How do I get it? And so when I make my confession, when I look at the Word, I say, I thank you, Father, that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. You sent your Word and healed me. And this weapon formed against me cannot, will not prosper. See, I am receiving what Jesus has already done. If I say I will be healed, I'm asking him to do a second time what he already did on the cross. So you wouldn't say, and when you came to Jesus as Savior and Lord, just forgive me, just forgive me, just forgive me. No, all your sins are remitted, they're blotted out, they cease to be. That's what the scripture says, they've been canceled. You know that. So you say, thank you that I am free. You declare your freedom. You're not worried about your past, it's gone. Hallelujah. You know, y'all don't know old songs because you're not old people, I guess, but gone, 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 lest my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, it's good enough for me. I will live eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. That's my declaration. My declaration and the Word I quote and what I meditate in is based on my reception of what's already done. Now, if I went downtown and I bought you the comforter that I know you've been wanting for a long time, but you didn't want to pay $400 for it. Do you know that comforter? Have you seen that one? And so I'm going to pay for it. And I'm going to tell the clerk, call this number, tell this lady to come pick this up. And it's paid for. It belongs to you, but you'll never get it if you don't go down and pick it up. Now, it's with our confession that we begin to pick up what Jesus has already done. Abraham was the father of a multitude, and he began to say, I'm Abraham, the father of a multitude. And he didn't have one little bitty tude. He had nobody. But he believed the promise, and he put the promise in his mouth. That's why Mark says, one place all things are possible with God, and another place all things are possible with him that believe. When I found out what God has done, then I know all I have to do is hook my mouth up with what God has done, and then it begins to work in me. Now, I like instant. You like instant? Instant happens. doesn't always happen. In fact, Marilyn Hickey, I believe, said, God is never late, but he's frequently last minute. And I see the truth in that in my own life sometimes. One lady told me she had 4 or 5 children, and she called her husband to do something for the children on the way home, and he was late at the office, and he came home without it. Well, God is never going to be late. He's never going to be empty-handed. What he paid for belongs to you. How are you going to get it? It's paid for. Your healing is paid for. It is paid for. How are you going to get it? Don't ask God and say, heal me, please heal me. He did. His sacrifice. Now, you have on your sheet this wonderful quote from F.F. Bosworth. If you don't have Christ the Healer, you get one if you can read it. And if you want me to get it for you, I'll be glad to order it for you and tell you how much it is. He said, faith is believing you have what God says you have. Faith is believing you have what God says you have and acting accordingly before you either feel or see that you have it. Acting like you have it before you feel or see that you have it. Trusting God, he said, it's paid for, and I'm picking up what you paid for. I'm going down for town to get the comforter. That's paid for. Now, years ago, there was a lady who couldn't pay her electric bill, and Wayne worked for the city for, 39 years or something. So they called one who could arrange for her to pay half. She wanted to pay half. She had somebody that would have paid it for her, but she wanted to extend her faith to pay at least half. And so Wayne arranged that, and I went down to talk to the lady and let them know who was going to pay the other half. And they were agreeable with that. See, she put forth her effort. She wanted to be a part of the solution or answer. She just didn't want to be supported by a system. And so that was arranged, and that happened, and she got her electricity, and she didn't call again, so I assume that she got her half together. See, but you don't have to do half. You couldn't have done it anyway. Have you ever sat in the doctor's office? Which of those people you think can do half? Huh? You hear the song, it says, God, you said it, I believe it. Amen. You said it, I believe it. You said it, that's what Abraham did. Now, if you look at your sheet, here's the definition of faith. Faith is how you're going to receive what's paid for. This is how you're going to receive what's paid for. If you went down, bought you a new car and paid cash, would that be interesting? And they said, we're going to clean it up, vacuum it for you, polish it for you, and we'll call you to come get it. Well, it is paid for. All the paperwork's done. It's paid for. But you have to make an effort to go back there and get it. See, and healing is paid for. Yes. See, your sins are paid for. And you confess Jesus as your Lord. And what he paid for then came to you, and you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, and all things became new. It came to you. It was paid for on the cross. You could have lived and died without it and ended up in hell. But you accepted what was paid for, and you accepted it by your confession and your faith in Jesus. See, I'm asking you to, and the scripture's asking you to accept what Jesus paid for. And he paid, according to Isaiah, for your sins, for your peace, which is total well-being in the scripture, and for your diseases, paid for. And so much time was spent saying, Lord, heal me, please heal me, please heal me, please heal me. He did. What's wrong with you? You don't know that? He did. He did. He did. Now look, I'm hollering at you today. That's okay, I hope. Here's the King James. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is giving substance. Faith is materializing hope for. Now, here's how we use hope. Did you invite Mabel to the party? Yes, I did. Oh, I hope she comes. I hope she comes. See, you don't know if she's coming. You want her to come, but you don't know she's coming. That is not this word hope. This word hope means to confidently expect. It's used in the second coming. You do not have to hope and cross your fingers that he's coming. He said he's coming. And this word hope is secure, it's certain. So faith is giving substance. You have a secure hope. It's defined sometimes as expectation of tomorrow's blessing. And the blessing we want is healing. And faith is going to bring that expectation. It's going to bring that hope to you. Now, we have a post office box because we were overseas for a long time, but if you have a, they don't deliver mail to my house. It's all right anyway. If you'd see where I lived, you'd know why they don't want to come. But if the mailman comes to your house, you go out there and see if there's any mail, even if there isn't any. You go with expectation. He came, there's mail. You had expectation. You knew he's coming. You didn't you know he was coming? Mm-hmm. Doesn't he always come unless it's holiday? Yep. Does he come in rainy weather? Yep. Doesn't he always come? Mm-hmm. And you can trust the mailman, but you can't trust Jesus? I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. Now, faith is giving substance. Faith is materializing. Faith is anchoring on your hope and bringing that hope to pass. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So there's no, seen is the realm of the senses in the scripture, and it's what you see, what you feel, what you hear. It's the total realm of the physical body. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So this which you need, you can't see it, you can't feel it, you're not certain about it, except through the scripture, except through what God said. God said, by Jesus' stripes, you, he didn't say, you will be healed. See, we say that. I'm going to be healed. God didn't say that. And if I'm smart, I'm going to echo God's word. He said, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. The Old Testament, Isaiah said, you are healed. And the New Testament says, you were healed. Now, if I say what God said, God said it, I believe it, but I continue to say what God said. You know, sometimes you have to say it till you believe it. You realize when you're saying it, you sort of believe, almost believe, you're trying to believe. Have you ever been there? But one day, it'll snap right in your spirit, and you'll realize, I am healed. I was healed. I've been healed. See, I want you to see how to receive what's paid for. You wouldn't hesitate to go to the store and to see if somebody really did pay for your favorite comforter. You wouldn't even call them and see. You'd be right down there. Have y'all priced comforters? It's quite interesting. Now look, we checked over 30 translations of this verse. I always start with the King James. It is the yardstick. It's the yardstick. But here is the WEAST, our WEAST, who knows. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Do you know what the title deed is? That's the paperwork that says you own your home. Faith says you own it. God paid for it. You own it. Go get it. Claim it. Start with your words. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the proof of things which you've not being seen, which are not being seen. Faith is a title deed. It's the proof of that that you don't see, that you've asked for, is paid for, and it belongs to you. Now, we have, our house is paid for, and it should be paid for. We've been there over 50 years, right? And we have a box with important papers in it. We have Daddy's little box, even though nobody needs those papers anymore. He's been gone since 2010, I think. But we can go to that box and take out that paper, and we can look at that paper, and it says, the property at 3020 Hardin Cumbie Road has been paid for. And it's got the court seal on it, and that's our house. It's paid for. Do you know if you saw your heavenly record and your disease and the struggle with your body, what you'd find in heaven's paperwork? It's been paid for. Now, how are you going to get it? Well, life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm going to get it because I'm going to say, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. He sent his word and healed me, and this weapon for me does not prosper. I am healed. One lady said, well, I don't feel healed. And I said, and I meant it, you don't look healed either. This is not sensual. It's scriptural fact. It's Holy Ghost written. You are healed. Go get what's paid for and start with the words of your mouth. That's what God did for Abraham. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham So every word. Do you know how long it took? He was 99 years old when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And at 100, Isaac was born. Now, I know you may have to say it longer than that. But you need to know God's got a good track record. He does. He has a good track record. Well, faith is a title deed. That means your healing's paid for. And you go to the scripture and there's your deed. And you begin to say that. Life and death in the power of the tongue. Here's what we say. My knee is killing me. We tend to speak our pain, speak our agony, speak in the sense realm. And one fellow on TV, I never thought of this before. I've been teaching, you know, me almost 50 years, 40-something years. I never thought of this before. He said, all you do is speak your emotions. And I remember all the people that I'd try to help. And all they were tied up in was how they felt and how Mama thought they felt instead of the Word. And sometimes you can't move them. And if you can't move them, you can't help them. Now, God gives gifts of healings. He just does some things. And there's no faith in gifts of healings. God decides what I'm doing right here. This is when I'm doing it right now. And we appreciate that. We appreciate His foresight. Now, look. Here's the next one. The CEV. That's something. I forget what these mean. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for. You know when you're sure and you're certain? Have you ever used a recipe you hadn't used in a long time? Well, a lady called about Mama's icing recipe. She used a boiled frosting icing on her coconut cake, and I hadn't made it or eaten any of it, and Mama's been gone a long time. And I thought, she read what she was going to do, and she says, is that right? And I thought, well, I'm not sure. I said, I haven't made it a long time. So after a while, she came back. She said, that wasn't right. Listen, if what you're saying is not right, quit saying it. Begin to say, thank God I'm healed. Thank God you sent your word to heal me. Thank God. Receive with your mouth. You start with your mouth. And through your mouth, your body begins to respond. It responds to the faith that you're speaking. Well, were you speaking faith or doubt? I've spoken a lot of doubt myself over the years. I know how to speak doubt. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work very well. Now look, faith is the title deed. Faith makes us sure and gives us proof of what we cannot see. What proves that you have what you can't see? It's your faith. It's your words. It's what God said. It's embracing what God said. That's what gives you proof. Makes you sure. Makes you certain. Well, have you ever bought a pair of shoes and you weren't sure you liked them or not? They might hurt your toe. I have a very narrow foot, not as narrow as it was when I was a girl. I wore a 7 quad, and you couldn't hardly find them. And when I grew up and had to go to a triple A and a double A and a 7.5 for toe room, I wasn't sure about those shoes, you know? Can you be sure about God's word? Can you be sure that it's paid for? Did He tell you your sins are paid for? Do you believe that? You do. Your sins are paid for. Are you planning to pay for your sins? You're not. They're paid for. Well, are your diseases paid for? They are. How are you going to receive them? How are you going to be sure? You know, I find I can say something for a while and I'm almost sure, sort of sure. I'm trying to be sure. Have you been there? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God lands on you, and what you've been saying lands in the Spirit, lands in the inward man, and suddenly you really are sure. You really do know. Now, here's the W.E. This is the one I like. If people believe God, then they know they have the things they hope to get. You see, you hope to get it, so you hadn't got it. Physically, you haven't got it. People believe God, they know they have the things they hope to get. People believe God, they know they have the things they hope to get. See, they have them in the Spirit. They have them by God's promise. God always shows up. And if God shows up, but was he there before? You knew he was there. Yes. And if you said you had it, did you have it before you knew you had it? Yes. Great translations. Now, the scripture is full of past tense. We tend to live in the future tense. God will. God can. God will. God will. When the scripture so often says he did. And here's one, Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us. Is that future tense, past tense? What is that? Christ hath redeemed us. It's past tense. It's been done. Redemption has been done. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you go to the curse of the law, it's in Deuteronomy 28. You will know that includes sickness and disease. It includes lots of diseases are mentioned by name. You can read them. Most of them we don't recognize, but my favorite is mildew. Now, I'm not sure what mildew was in that time frame, but how would you like to say, what happened to her? She mildewed. And so it's interesting just to read them in Deuteronomy 28. But then at the end of that chapter, it says, and every sickness and disease I didn't mention is included. And they're not a blessing. Now, we've gone over this many times about the sovereignty of God. We're not confused. Are we confused? We are not confused. Everybody says God is sovereign. That means he'll decide whether he's going to heal me or not. When they say that, that's what they mean. He's going to decide. Maybe he heals me, maybe he doesn't. He's going to decide. It's because he's sovereign and he's in control. And they use that and they pray, God, you're in control. The God who is in control said, I have healed you. He decided that. He's sovereign. And in his sovereign will, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. You can't be saved any other way. You have to be saved through your faith, receiving the grace of God. God who is sovereign set up the way to receive. He's a sovereign God, but he's not wishy-washy. He said, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. That's the way he set it up. Now, the other day, Wayne and I lost a piece of paper, an important piece of paper. And I looked everywhere. And Wayne looked everywhere. And we looked everywhere twice. Do you know that piece of paper? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Well, finally, Suzanne was working. That's our daughter, for those of you who are new. And I said, Suzanne, we've looked in the buffet. And we've looked in last year's paperwork, which is ready to go in the attic. And we've looked where I do all my, you know, pencil work. And we looked over here in the buffet. And it is not anywhere. She said, well, I'll get it for you. I'd only looked for it a couple hours. I mean, I'd looked and looked and waited and looked and looked. And she said, it's right here under this file. And she pulled it out, and there it was. I said, ah. I could have had it 2 hours earlier if I'd gone to the right source. Wayne didn't know, and I didn't remember. She said I gave it to her to file, and I probably did, but I didn't remember that. You can't receive unless your faith is in God and what he's already done. He's already done it. He's already done it. He said, faith makes us sure of what we hope for. By his faith, faith is from his promise. Faith is from his word. Abraham spoke his name. He was faith. Now you have the prophet sitting on the bank of the Cherith River with the birds. At God's command, those birds came every day with bread and quail. Every day. God doesn't forget a thing. He said you were healed. You're not asking him to heal you. He already did that part. He's done his part. Did you do yours? Well, sometimes, if you say your knee's killing you, and I always pick on my knee because I do not have any knee problems. I don't want to pick on anything that, no. I used to sing that to Ashley when she was little. That's Suzanne's daughter, my granddaughter. And she'd say something, I'd say, no. My daddy was a church musician. No. We didn't sing that at church, though. No. And she caught on. She's a smart little bird. One day she looked at me and she said, Yes. And I know I'd been caught at it. See, God's saying, yes, heal. And you're saying, heal me. And he said, I did. You get that? I holler when I'm excited. You can expect me when you come back to holler again. Well, then it says, if people believe God, then they know they have the thing they hope for. Doesn't say they see it. They know they have it. And they know one day they're going to feel it. But it doesn't start with a feeling. It starts with a promise. It starts with the death and resurrection of our Lord. Now, it says, Christ hath redeemed us. And that is past tense. But he took it. It said, being made a curse for us. He took the curse. So when the curse comes, and the curse includes sickness, when the curse comes to your house, he took that curse. You can say to that curse, you have to leave here. Now, one night, about 10:30, we have property. This little guy, dressed nice, looked presentable, he knocks on our door. It's about 10:30. He wants to do some yard work. He wants to mow. Well, we don't mow at that hour. And we have a riding mower, and Wayne loves to mow. And he can ride. It takes 4 hours to mow our property, and we don't really need any help mowing. Well, he brought my trash can, which is 150 yards down the way. And so it has to be 150 yards down the way, so we have to take it back down the way. See, if you've made a mistake, then you go where you made the mistake and correct that. And he made the mistake, we didn't. See, now there are people who are going to help you make a mistake. Did you know that? They're going to help you die. They will. And I always say, how's your dog? I change the subject. I'm not listening to you unless you're in line with God. I'm not letting you pull me offline. Well, I do that all the time. Everybody who's been in here for my class for years knows that's what I do. I change the subject. Someone said, well, you'll offend them. I said, they'll realize you didn't want to talk about it. I said, I hope they do. I hope I don't have to say to them, we can't talk about my health. So I say, how's your dog? So this one little lady called me and the tail, she is dragging me with her dilemma through the mud. And she isn't going to listen to anything I have to say. She's not after the counsel of the word. She just wants somebody to tell all the bad details to. And the more she talked, the more I realized, I'm thinking, she doesn't have a dog. She doesn't have a dog. She doesn't have, how can I change the subject? So I realized that she, oh, a craft person, extraordinarily gifted. And so I said, tell me what you're making, right in the middle of her dilemma. We were in the biggest ditch. I said, she said, did you just change the subject on me? Amen. I said, yes, I did. Tell me about your crafts. You're not dragging me to hell, and you're not keeping me sick. I won't listen to you. Amen. Now I went and talked to a lady. She's gone to heaven. And I had a message for her, something I was supposed to say to her, you know. And she was a talker. Do you know that person? Talk. I went, uh-huh. I found out they don't want your response. You don't even have to say uh-huh if you don't want to. And I went, And then she took a breath to take a drink of water. She was out of breath. She had to have a drink of water. And I said, let me tell you something. And I talked real fast and gave her my message. She said, as I was saying, she wasn't interested in the truth. She just wanted a sympathetic ear. You got that right.
Yep.
Now, we're not going to be unkind. We're not going to be unforgiving. We're not going to be unloving. Mm-hmm. You know, when our kids were coming up, we have two. Something that I wouldn't let them do, I said, you just tell them that your mama won't let you do that. I said, you blame it on me. I can carry the blame. I don't mind carrying the blame. You tell them your mama won't let you do that. Well, now they're not at home. They're both married. So I said, I'll have to check with Wayne. I don't think he wants to do that. I've passed the buck on to him.
Yeah.
I tell him, the person with the broader shoulders always takes the blame. And he's a lot broader shoulder than I am. But nobody takes the blame but you. Correct your words. Christ hath redeemed us. Now look, this is from Isaiah. Surely he hath borne our griefs. It doesn't say he will borne our griefs. Griefs is sickness, disease. Surely he hath borne our griefs. The Amplified says, surely he's borne our griefs, sickness, disease, and sorrow, I think, sorrow and pain. Surely he hath borne. Do you see that's past tense? Do you see it's already been done? Do you see when you call on God to heal you, he already did? Griefs is sickness. And carried our sorrows, and sorrow is pain. Now that word borne is very interesting. It is the Hebrew word N-A-S-A, NASA. Now, I don't know if Cape Canaveral knew that, but it is the word NASA, and it means to lift up and carry off and remove to a distance. In the Hebrew, that's what it means. I don't know if it's intentional or not. But when you see his born, it says he's already lifted it off, removed it, and carried to a distance. That's been done for you. And the word carried has to do with how heavy it was. Well, you were the one that was sick, so you know how heavy it was. You know what a load it was. You know how difficult it was. Surely he hath lifted up, carried off, and moved to a distance the entire weight of our grief, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. All that's been done. It's over. It's been done. But it knocks on your door, and with the words of our mouth, we let it in. Now, I didn't know it was the little guy that wanted to mow had been sitting in the afternoon at the back door. My back door is remote. And he'd been sitting at the back door. So that's what Satan does. If he can't come in with one line of attack, he'll come with another. So I have to be anchored in my confession and anchored in God's word. I have to know disease is paid for. And all you have to do is line up your words and watch God work in your body. And we don't ever give up because it doesn't look like it's happening. Now, he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded. Was wounded. Do y'all know your English? Future tense, past tense. What is that? It's already happened. Wounded, past tense, for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon it, and with his stripes we are healed. Below is 1 Peter 2, said, with his stripes we were healed. Now you remember in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion that came to Jesus to heal his servant? That word servant indicates it was a child. No doubt someone born in his household that he had become very fond of. And he sent word to Jesus. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I will come. I will come. And he said, oh, no, you don't have to come. You don't have to come. Speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Speak the word. Just say so, Jesus. That servant's not there. Speak the word only. Now, when the blind men came to Jesus, they came to the house where he was. That's in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? He's giving them a chance to speak the word. He said, do you believe I'm able? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? And he said, yes. They said, yes. And he healed them. He gave them a chance to speak words. Now, you know what Mary said? I will read you when they told her she would carry the Christ child. Hallelujah. It's in Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Verse 38. Be it unto me according to your word. See, your healing is in your receiving the word and speaking the word and standing on the word, irregardless of how you feel. Speak the word. Be it unto me according to the word. And then the verse above. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And that word nothing comes from several Greek words. It means not any word is impossible. That's what that says. Not any word is impossible. Huh. Well, look at. I don't always give you, I thought this would help you if some of you take this home and read these. I don't always give you an outline. Ephesians 1:3, in available blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us. So if I say, oh, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, what's wrong with that? It's contrary to the word. He said he did. He's already blessed me with spiritual blessing. That's every blessing that the spirit world can provide. And you're not going to find any blessing that he can't. You'll find some that he won't provide, but nothing that he can't provide. And when Peter was walking on the water, you remember Peter walking on the water? And he said, if it's you, well, he couldn't say it's not me. He said, if it's you, bid me come, talk to Jesus. If it's you, bid me come to you on the water. And he started walking on the water. And then he said he saw the wind boisterous and began. Do you think you began to sink? He said he began to sink. You're either on the water or you're in the water, but you ain't beginning anything. Oh, what is she doing? Oh, I think she's beginning to sink. He's walking on that one word. He only needed one word. He's walking on come. Come, come. That's the only word he got, the only word he needed. And when he was, listen, I usually pick on Susan. She's usually right. For years, she was my picky, but I pick on Wayne. He won't pull me down. It said Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him up. Now, how close was he? Reached out his hand and pulled him up. How close was he?
That's your key away.
You did real good with that. He said it, I believe it. He said it, I believe it. He said it, I believe it. So what if I believe and I believe I die? Congratulations. Death is not punishment. It's reward.
That's right. That's right.
Heaven is your home. When Mama died, we had nurses around the clock, and somehow the daytime nurses work 8-hour shifts, and the weekend nurses work 12-hour shift. You know, if you figure that out, that leaves Friday night, nobody's there. So, Wayne and I did Friday nights, and Mama was not conscious. She's not any trouble. So we sat, and then the next nurse came, and she's lost. She's never been to Auburndale. I'm from Auburndale, and she's lost, and she doesn't know how to get there. We explained it, and she's really late. And so after midnight, we got home. We pulled away from Lakeland. We pulled into our driveway, and she called. The phone rang, and she said, your mother's gone. I said, no, I was just there. I denied the report. She said, ma'am, this is what I do for a living. I said, okay. We'll be right there. That was the best day of my mother's life. Who wants her laying unconscious? She'd been that way for a long time.
Come on.
And if you checked with the spirit, it's not going to change. It could have changed, but it isn't this time. It isn't changing this time. We had a little lady at church, broke her leg from our first church way back when. She broke her leg, and she was in Lakeland Regional. And the sun happened at that moment, came in the window real bright and hit her right in the face. And she raised her hands and she said, and she was gone. Well, that wasn't sad. Don't fear death, for heaven's sake. The only thing I fear is if my relatives, I hope they'll be inept without me. I hope they really needed me. You know what I mean? What I said. Okay. Spiritual blessings. Blessed with spiritual blessings. Paid for. His divine power hath given unto us. Hath, that is past tense. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything pertaining to life and God has already been given to you. All you have to do is claim it.